Welcome to another Carlin Loud Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, again, we're doing this remotely, and seems to be the way things are going at the moment with the restrictions that the government have put on people.
Well, they're tightening up, aren't they? And with our egos, it's impossible to be in the same room together. We're only allowed two people in the same room, is that right?
Yeah, two people, and...
your ego and my ego, that just adds up to too many people.
Well, yeah, you're right. With the way the way I think that you're twice the man of most people, that's two, isn't it?
Well, I probably weigh as much as two people. So, you know, I'm always careful when I get in an elevator or a lift because I look at what's a weight category here, and I think, is this normal people must weigh a lot less than me? So I have to be mindful of those type of things.
Well, you know, my philosophy in these difficult times is to be nice to people. So I'm not going to get on the bandwagon and pick on you, mate.
That's what you've got normally. You've changed that then. Is that just through hard times, not through normal times?
Well, I don't know, mate. You're a good man, and I've always said that.
What you say when we're on our podcast.
Of course.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Well,
nothing going on. The sport's dead. There's nothing happening in the sporting world.
Well, there is.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm quite interested about the direction that football's taking. There's so many twists and turns, and I see there's people arguing about player cuts, et cetera, et cetera, and the AFL screaming that they can't sustain payments. And I'm thinking, here we're talking about a multi-million-dollar organisation that sort of reaps in millions and millions of dollars on television rights and sponsorship, and how come they can't sustain it for 12 months?
Well, you think it's even less than 12 months. I mean, we would be hoping that all sport will get an opportunity to get into this season at some point. That may not be the case, but we can only hope. But you think, let's say we can't play 3 or 4 months of winter sport. But that does surprise me, doesn't it? Because I sort of think AFL is our biggest sport in the country by a long shot. It's our biggest professional sport. You know, massive TV rights, big commercial contracts, etc. But it's all of a sudden, there's no football, and straight away, clubs are in trouble, the AFL is in trouble, and you think, wow, how's that possible? But, I mean, even now, AFL looking at borrowing a lot of money against the Marvel Stadium as a way of keeping afloat.
Yeah, it sort of it stuns me because, but then again, the AFL have been investing a lot of money in Queensland and New South Wales football and the Women's League over the last few years, and they've spent millions of dollars on programs within Victoria over the last 1 to 2 years, haven't they?
Well, I was interested, like you, and I had a look at trying to find some information, and I'm certainly no accountant, but looking at the sort of last year, they were saying they were made a surplus of about nearly $30 million. But it sort of broke down what they spent their money on. And I know it said $18 million went to community football in Victoria. Didn't mention other states, interestingly. And I know South Australia needs money, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Community footy. But maybe it's just one of those things, isn't it? I mean, this is such an unexpected. I mean, seriously, we can all talk about what might happen, but this is very unexpected. And so, if you're a big sport or a big company and you're doing well and you're trying to invest money back into the sport or the company to make it better, I mean, we can't have a crack at them for doing that. But I think everyone's going to have to look differently now, isn't it? I mean, back in the day, my parents would have said, and their parents would have said, oh, you make sure that you save so much percentage of your income because you might need it one day.
Yep.
And we're probably not, none of us are at that point now where we can say, geez, I've got enough money put aside to get me through. So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to really struggle because of this. And I guess it's probably fair enough to say a lot of sporting clubs and sporting organisations are in the same boat.
Well, I saw Carlton this week have declared that they're cutting their ties with their VFL team, so that's already gone by the wayside. And today I was looked something on Facebook about Port Adelaide Footy Club are looking at possibly cutting ties with the Magpies in the SNFL. So, gee, there's going to be a few changes in the face of footy going forward. It's going to look a lot different.
Well, Well, it is, isn't it? And we all have our own interests in the team that we support or the club that we've been part of since a kid, for example. And the reality and the sad part of this is there are going to be some clubs that don't survive. And, you know, we're part of groups that might be small clubs and have just existed year to year. And people work very hard to keep them going. But this might be the nail in the coffin for a number of smaller clubs in all sports. And it might be for some of what we might think are our bigger clubs, even like Central Districts Footy Club, are now doing a fundraising process because, you know, they're going to say, hey, we need to raise $250,000. And so everyone's feeling the pinch. And the question will be is, like, when everyone themselves are tightening their belts and there's a lot of people out of employment and people having to take pay cuts and loss of hours, will people be in a position to say, I can put my money towards the club? They might not be in that position anymore.
Well, I think a lot of people have been mentally tuned into spending money on whatever they want because there hasn't been restrictions as such. But now, with the coronavirus and the pandemic and the losses of freedoms and money, I think people will start thinking a lot more seriously about how they spend their money. So I think the economic impact going forward is going to be longer than what people anticipate.
Well, they're talking years, aren't they? And it's just hard. It's so hard at the moment to think clearly and get your head around things. I think, you know, it's almost, it's very hard to be in the present, I'm finding right now, let alone in the future. And so I just sort of find it difficult for everyone to think. And there's so many what-ifs and there's so much unknown. So it's a really difficult time for people generally. But I guess what we're trying to do is think about what might the sporting landscape look like when we come out the other end. And it seems to be from what we're seeing in the media, that, and specifically talking about AFL, that there's going to have to be some big changes.
Yeah, there will be, but I'll tell you one thing that I've noticed, which sort of heartens me as an SNFL supporter, is I've noticed on Facebook that there's been this this sense of community in regards to the football, because people have been on board and they started saying, "Oh, what's your favourite player from each club?" And when I first saw that going around, it was all about, you know, your Essendons and your Adelaides and your Carlton's. But lately I've noticed there's been a push for SNFL, you know, your favourite Central District player and Sturt player and North player and things like that. And I've actually seen more of those than I have with the AFL. And then I've also seen a couple of organisations through their Facebook sites are putting past great games in their SNFL games. And I'm staggered that the SNFL-type football community seems to be rising from the ashes, and whether that has an impact going forward when we get our footy again, perhaps we'll go back 20-odd years and we'll see perhaps an 8-team league here in the SNFL with the surplus Crows and Power players playing with those divided between the 8 clubs, which I think will be a much more even and healthier competition and give more prestige to the SNFL.
Well, I think sort of that's going to happen is that there's going to be, the leagues will probably be smaller. Maybe the clubs that survive are going to be those who are in maybe stronger financial positions. But it's going to be a shame because we are, as I mean, that's interesting you talk about that, sort of looking back into the past. But I guess right now, everything seems to be on hold, isn't it? Like what we're doing now is on hold. We're in sort of this limbo sort of circle, and we're not sure of the future. And so maybe what we now do is we look back at the things that brought us joy in the past and we reminisce. And so that's where people are thinking about and looking back into what happened, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But I can only imagine that in, you know, when we come back, there are going to be these smaller sort of trimmed football leagues and other sports where clubs can be a little bit more stable in terms of their finances.
Well, another interesting aspect, you remember we spoke to Richard McGuire talking about sporting memories and those types of aspects that they were bringing in to help people. This might be a good opportunity for them to sort of expand on that and piggyback a lot of this people wanting to remember sort of past sporting events.
Could be, because you're right, there's a lot of it sort of flooding social media, and because again there's nothing at the moment new to add in there, so you're looking, there's a lot of what we're doing at the moment, which is looking at crystal balls and trying to predict the future, but there's also looking at how we can entertain ourselves, and some of that is looking at what's happened in the past. But here's another, let's just diverge a little bit. All the stuff that's been happening, we've lost this ability to see live sport, real live sport. But what is actually increasing, and I don't know if you're aware of this stuff, Rob, because it might not be in your circle of interest, but esports, actual playing sport online, augmented reality, rather than actually playing for real. Now, you know, I'm into my motorsports, and right now, F1, Formula One, and the V8 supercars here in Australia are both about to launch e-sport leagues where the drivers who normally drive cars for real are going to be competing online in a simulated season.
Wow. And do you think that might lead to other sports like maybe AFL and cricket going online, e-sports?
Well, it's difficult for some sports because, I mean, there are some, like, online e-sports is a big business now. And, like, it's like in places like Asia and America, they get massive support and following. And there's now there's a game called Fortnite, which you may or may not be aware of, but there's 16, 17-year-old kids competing in that head-to-head, and this is like a combat type of game. And the prize money is into the millions of dollars.
Wow.
Now, and this is what's happening around the world. So all of a sudden, people like me who are starved of watching, I want to watch car racing, I can't do that, but all of a sudden I'll be able to actually watch people who I normally watch actually racing simulated cars in a game, but they'll be racing head-to-head, and they're talking about getting a lot of people online to watch this happen because people are starved of sport. They want to see something. So this could actually see, I think, a really big increase in people's involvement in electronic sports, esports.
I'm just wondering what that will do for future generations. If we tend to go down that track, does that mean that obesity levels, et cetera, will impact sort of the health of the human race?
Well, see, these have been the things people are worried about, like, you know, like the sort of this stereotype. I guess we've got stereotypes of people who play sport. And then there's, of course, been stereotypes of people who might be involved in playing these online games. And so you sort of think of someone who's isolated, you know, sitting on their own in the dark, who's playing on these computers. But like when you see these competitions, they're now played in stadiums. They're all together. There's massive crowds there. They're all then streamed online to millions of viewers. And there's a lot of interaction and cooperation between the players. And we're looking at these guys who, and girls who are playing. When you see them, they're not big, obese people. And so I don't know. I mean, these are interesting times, and whether people have – I mean, we think now, again, things like all the sporting equipment's been bought up. You can't buy dumbbells and all this sort of stuff. So maybe people are going to be working out more at home. They're going to be doing all those things, keeping fit, and maybe playing a bit of stuff online as well.
Yeah, look, the thing is, as human beings, we need activities, and whether it's physical or mental or whatever, we need that stimuli. So, you know, whatever works, whatever gets people's mental health in the right direction is more important than most other things in regards to our health. So if it's e-sports, so be it.
Well, it's interesting times, as you said, and I think if this sort of brings, it shows an interest, it does, can bring people together. As you said, like, people are going to be cooped up wanting to do certain things, and maybe getting online and watching certain people racing or playing games, etc., might be a way of passing the time and keep people interested. And as you say, their mental health and their well-being will be improved.
Well, we're coming to the concluding stages of this week's show, but perhaps what we can do, Sean, is have a look at a little bit more into this. I'd be very interested to see sort of the numbers compared to before the coronavirus, going forward, whether they've increased to a certain level, and to see sort of what the how big an issue it really is.
This time's going to tell. It would be nice to actually talk to someone. Maybe we can get someone from one of the SANFL clubs to, or someone to chat to us about what they think. Because, I mean, we're sort of sitting here spitballing, but it might be nice to get someone who's right there at the coalface having to deal with some of the things that cause them. We don't understand or understand the complexities of them, just to sort of for them to tell us what's happening with the club and the difficulties they see moving forward and what they think might be the outcomes in the future.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so ends another Carlton Lade Sports Show. I'll try. So ends another Carlton Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlton.